Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommer as our producer and engineer. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon across the state and around the world in the Civic Media app. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday, the 4th of June. An exciting day indeed. Welcome in for those watching on the stream. A full company here in the studio today. We are honored to have our ongoing contributor and friend, Mr. Trygve Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. To my right, to our left, we have the outstanding, fantastic Elise Jordan, of course, from MSNBC and NBC, and a political analyst on Morning Joe, amongst others. She is also a former Bush 2 White House staffer, was on the NSC and the State Department, and one of the original co-founders of the Lincoln Project himself, Mr. Reed Galen, makes a reappearance back on the show. Welcome all. Glad to have you here on the broadcast. Going to get to all of you in a second, but first, some breaking news. Those listening to our friend and colleague Jane Matinier on the show before us, you know this, of course, across Civic Media News as well. Democratic Attorney General Josh Call this morning, about an hour and a half ago, filed felony charges against attorneys Jim Troupas and Kenneth Chesbro, as well as former Donald Trump campaign aide Michael Roman, stemming from the false elector scheme in Wisconsin. According to WisPolitics now, Call filed a Class H felony against each of the three this morning in Dane County Circuit Court, according to online records. Each has an initial appearance scheduled for September 19th. Call, who faced criticism for the pace of the investigation into the scheme, scheduled a noon press conference today. Our news director, Terry Bell, is there. He'll report as soon as we have an on-location report. Troupas of Cross Plains, just outside of Madison, and Chesbro, who, interestingly enough, lists a San Juan address in court records, was part of a legal team that advised Wisconsin's 10 GOP electors to meet and cast their votes for Trump, even though Joe Biden won the state in 2020. Republicans, of course, have argued that the move was to preserve Trump's legal option as he challenged the results. We know that's not a fact. Roman was indicted alongside Trump in the Georgia election interference case and has been connected to probes into other states where similar schemes were carried out. There'll be more on this across Civic Media News this afternoon. But bringing in our friend and ongoing contributor, he's a two-time Democratic Party chairman himself and also an attorney. We want an attorney perspective on this. Our friend Matt Flynn joining us live from Milwaukee via the phone. Matt, good afternoon on what is a historic day here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, good afternoon, Todd. Good to be back with you guys. Let me just say a few quick things. This just broke, as you know. The press conference is going on as we speak. But apparently what Call did about an hour and a half ago was to indict Kenneth Chesbro and Jim Troupas and a fellow named Mike Roman, a staffer who tried to deliver the fake electors to a Pennsylvania congressman to then give to Pence. And there are a number of questions I have. I mean, I'm just going to throw them out right now. Yeah. You could say better late than never, but the fake electors in Arizona, Georgia, and Michigan were already indicted a long time ago. This should have been done at least a year ago. By having a September 19 court date, this thing isn't going to come close to being resolved before the election. And my question is, if this fellow Roman who tried to give these things to a staffer to give to Pence is indicted, why isn't Ron Johnson and his staffer invited? Ron Johnson roamed around with the Michigan and Wisconsin fake electors in his pocket trying to feed him to Pence. Why isn't he in this? Why aren't all the fake electors in this thing? Why isn't Andrew Hitt, the former state chairman, and Bob Spindell, who's on the Wisconsin Election Commission, why aren't they on this list?
Matt, what's your opinion on this? A couple of quick questions for you before we get to our panel. Number one, of course, Andrew Hitt, the former Republican Party chairman in Wisconsin himself, get this, an election attorney, of course, was on CBS with Anderson Cooper here a couple of months ago, basically doing some kind of a mea culpa, saying he was duped. Do you think there was some kind of a deal cut Matt Flynn with Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call. Look, if you go out and kind of, you know, tell the truth now, we're not going to bring charges. Is that something an attorney general can and would do?
Well, he can do it. I doubt that he did it here. I mean, Hitt basically confessed. I don't know why he did that, number one. Number two, you can always have a superseding indictment. You can always add new parties. Maybe Josh Call is looking at the rest of these things, but this gives the appearance of too little, too late, stuck in at the end. You nail a couple of guys, none of the big boys, and no Wisconsin fake elector gets nailed. You know, the thing is that, yes, Chesbrough and yes, Troupas did commit crimes, in my view, based on this indictment. There's no question about it. These people misrepresented to the Congress and the National Archives using the mails that Trump had won and he didn't win. That said, what about the other fake electors, 10 of them? What about Ron Johnson? What about Ron Johnson's staffer? Why should Mike Roman go down?
One more question, quickly, Matt, on the legal front. As a longtime attorney, talk to us, Class H felony, to a layperson like me and most of our listeners, what does that mean and what kind of penalties could happen out of it if it convicted?
Yeah. Felonies are listed. I've not seen this indictment, but if they use a letter on it, and off the top of my head without looking at the statute, I can't tell you what H stands for. But it's gradations of years.
Hell of a bad thing. That's all I'll say. I'm not sure.
it's a felony, but you know, it ain't murder. You know, so H is down the light a little bit, but it ain't good, Todd. You would not want to do some time on a Class H. I mean, all right, only a couple of years, great. Only a couple. Are you out of your mind?
Right, exactly. I want to turn to our panel. All right, yeah, look up the age when we talk to our panel. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Stay with us, Matt Flynn. Appreciate it very, very much. I want to turn to our panel. Elise Jordan, we love to have you here, number one. I didn't know we were going to start out this way, but, you know, this things happen on you know, times like this about an hour ago. What do folks out in the Beltway look at Wisconsin? I mean, are they just kind of baffled? Like Georgia's got their act together. Pennsylvania, what are people just looking at Wisconsin waiting for this? Or does anybody care out there?
I think that there's so many swirling charges when it comes to the various fake elector schemes that the public, the electorate writ large, has just gotten muddled in their minds. And then Georgia, of course, is front and center. But I frankly am baffled. Why is this so late? Can you, the Wisconsin expert, explain that to me? Like, why did this take so long?
I mean, there's a lot of, I'm not sure I'm an expert, but I think a lot of people are asking the same question as Matt Flynn did. And there is a thought out there. I can't prove it, but there are some people that say that Josh Call has thoughts of running for governor at some point and doesn't want to alienate the middle, you know, in a presidential or in a gubernatorial race. We don't know that. Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, you've been following these indictments as it stems or relates to fake electors across the country. What's your take on this?
Well, I read about the first third of the complaint while we were waiting here to go on air. And so according to the complaint, a Class H felony is punishable by a $10,000 fine and up to 6 years in prison. So there you go.
Thank you very much.
I did my homework on the fly. But, I think that Matt's question about this actually goes back to why this took so long. People don't want to make hard decisions, right? Accountability matters. It matters, especially in positions of public trust. I mean, this is the definition of, at least what I looked up, a criminal conspiracy that runs from late November after Governor Evers had already certified all these votes, right? Then the prime electors, the Democratic electors, had voted. Now they come in, they have another meeting somewhere in the Capitol, right? They take pictures of it and text them to one another, right? And they're talking about all of this stuff. And ultimately, they're talking about January 6th, right? This is an ongoing criminal conspiracy. I agree. Why is Ron Johnson not on the list? He tried to hand these things to Pence, and one of Pence's staffers who knew better said, no way, right? We're not going to do this. And so I think, you know, yes, sometimes it's okay, well, does this guy want to have higher office? Maybe he does. But I think it's just an unwillingness to do what's right when doing what's right is hard. And yes, may have some backlash, but it's the foundation of the system.
Tryggvi Olson, originally from Wisconsin, has had a lot of races here, a lot of campaigns, as well as nationally and for presidents. We've been talking about this across the state of Wisconsin. In turn, we know some of these players, the Wisconsin Republican Party, like Andrew Hitt and like Brian Schimming and all these people. I mean, is there any question in your mind that these people knew what they were doing when they did it?
No, I mean, I think if you read, I think it was the Georgia indictment actually had some text of conversations. I think it was Mark Jefferson was having with some people, and they're like, this doesn't seem legal. Well, if you're asking yourself that question, right, you probably know that you should at least call a lawyer if you're in a heavily regulated industry like politics, like that. I think they knew. Did Andrew Hitt know? Sure, he's an election lawyer. Did some of those other people that were in the room fully get it? That's hard to say. But at the end of the day, I think it's good that they're proceeding, and maybe this is half a loaf going after Troopas and Cheeseboro, but at least it's a start.
About 2 minutes before our first break here, listening to Civic Media's coverage of this breaking news, Attorney General Josh Call of Wisconsin filing felony charges against Jim Troopas and Kenneth Chesbro in the fake elector scheme. Matt Flynn on the phone, an attorney, two-time Democratic Party chair in Wisconsin. About a minute and a half left here before the break, then we'll let you go. From your perspective as an attorney, I mean, we got this first appearance scheduled for September 19th. We saw how long these things on the national stage take sometimes. What's kind of the calendar as an attorney for people looking at this? What can we expect next?
Well, first of all, there has to be an arraignment. They have to put in a not guilty plea. They may have their people try to cut a plea bargain and so on. This, to me, looks, September, that's 3 months. months, what? I mean, for the first court appearance, the election's in November. This should have been done a year or two ago. Chesbro was named in one of the other indictments in other states. He was one of the gurus of this Green Bay sweep. So there'll be an arraignment, then there'll be some kind of a process for discovery. Criminal discovery is different from civil discovery, but the prosecutors will have to turn over their files. This thing won't be scheduled for trial till after the year, well after the election. So I'm not sure why these three people with Roman are being charged right now to push it beyond the election and not Ron Johnson and his staffer and the fake electors. But whatever the reason, this is not going to be resolved before the election, in my opinion.
Appreciate, as always. Thank you so much, Matt Flynn, joining us live from Milwaukee. Thank you so much, my friend. We'll have you back on soon. Stay tuned. We will talk more with our special roundtable on a Tuesday. President Joe Biden going to put an executive order out today in terms of immigration. Will it matter to voters? And in reality, discuss it with the panel after this, the Almost Show on Civic Media. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 past the hour of 12 noon across the state of Wisconsin, from Green Bay to Richland Center, from Duluth Superior all the way down to Milwaukee, Waukesha, and points in between. Glad to have you along here on a Tuesday with our special ground table and panel. Joining us on a special Tuesday edition, Mr. Tryggvi Olson, Wisconsin native like myself, a former Republican who is one of the senior advisors at the Lincoln Project. And Tryggvi, as we say back home, you done well, or you done good. You brought some great friends with you. Co-founder of the Lincoln Project.
You know what's hilarious, Todd? You want to know something funny? Yeah. I just got a text from my daughter, Ula, that she's listening. Mm. She said she's listening because Elise is on.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Well, exactly. I mean, we
love Ula. You should have Ula on your show.
I would
actually
love to have her on as well.
You should have her on your show because she is a broadcast journalist in her own right.
I know. She's done some TV. She's made Tryggvi look good on camera.
I'll just say all of our daughters are smarter than we are.
I love the humility.
We've got Reed Galen, one of the co-founders of Lincoln Project here. And as mentioned, Elise Jordan from MSNBC, NBC, political analyst on Morning Joe, amongst others, former staffer with the Bush White House, the NSC, and the State Department. Before we get off this topic, guys, again, just a final thought here. Personally, I'm glad Josh Call finally did something in terms of Wisconsin's fake electors, but But I guess the big question out here, like so much of the news this week, I have a couple of friends, former political people as well, and we get together, we have a drink on their back porch about once a month, and we have our own off-the-air version of Week in Review. And the question that keeps coming up is, does anything matter? Does what happened today matter to the 15,000 voters in Wisconsin who are going to decide this state in November and who could decide the entire presidential election?
I mean, I would say yes. I think there's no silver bullet this year. This is going to be, and actually Elise was talking about this last night, this is going to be sort of the election of a thousand cuts against a guy like Donald Trump is, you know, can you trust this guy? Do you trust this guy? I mean, now, you know, these guys have already been indicted several times, but you look at the expanding circle around Donald Trump and they're all either felons, pardoned felons or under federal indictment or state indictment for felonies. And so this is something where maybe it doesn't mean they love Joe Biden, but they're just not going to deal with Donald Trump again.
Elise?
Well, there need to be consequences for trying to overthrow the democratic process in the country. It is sad, the lack of confidence these days in the free and fair election process that's the bedrock of American society. So there need to be consequences, just like there need to be consequences if you jaywalk. And there would be for you or me. Mm-hmm. There has to be something done here, too. So, yes, I'm like you. I'm in the camp of better sooner rather than later. But, hey, it's happening and the wheels of justice are turning.
I want to go to a cut this morning, and it's so great to have all of you here, but Elise, I know a lot of people see you in the mornings on Morning Joe on MSNBC, enjoy reporting, and enjoy your analysis, and we're happy to have you here. Was watching this morning on Morning Joe, and Joe was talking on the panel today a little bit about the people around Donald Trump, and Reid and Trigvi at a much higher level, me at a lower level. We've all been around these kind of Republican staffers, advisors, and say, well, you know, you should do it. And Trump seems to have these people around him that are trying to convince him that somehow having 34 criminal felony convictions is a good thing. Here was Joe's take this morning on Morning Joe MSNBC. We'll come back with a roundtable. Here is Joe this morning.
You know, there is such a bubble, too, Jonathan Lemire, that these people live in. I mean, and even people in sort of the media orbit that I've talked to, they think 34 felony convictions is great for Donald Trump, great for fundraising, firing up the base. Man, people are going to do whatever it takes to vote. It fires up his 44%, his 43%, you know, and ceiling maybe 46-47%. But, they actually believe it. Trump knows better than to believe that this is something that he wants. But there are people around him that have convinced himself living in bubble that these 34 felony convictions the greatest political advance for Trump in some time. And they're just completely delusional.
Elise Jordan, are they?
I mean, I'm sure Trump does have some delusional advisors around him, but I'm more concerned about the ones who aren't and who are dealing with this reality. And I think that we dismiss them at our peril if we don't acknowledge that, you know, they're playing to win, and Trump's team is playing to win this year. And the fundraising hype, I'm interested about those numbers. If they actually did raise all that money, a veteran operative yesterday made that point, and I thought it was a smart one, that, you know, the Trump campaign might come out with, we raised so much money the day of the convictions, but then show us the money. So I think that we're going to see Trump get increasingly nervous as his sentencing date approaches. He knows this isn't a good thing. This right. is not, it never is a good thing to be a convicted felon on 34 counts.
Quickly, Trigvi Olsen, you know, Chris LaCivita, who kind of runs Trump World. When people, that's one of the things we get a lot of feedback on. Well, Trigvi knows this guy. I mean, to Joe's point, I mean, Chris LaCivita ran Ron Johnson's campaign in Wisconsin and won a couple of years ago. He's not an idiot. Do you think he's telling Trump this is a good thing?
You know, I don't know what he's telling Trump. I think if you look at how Chris has reacted to this, and I said this the other day when I was on with Charles, right? If you look at how they've reacted to this, Larry Hogan came out with a statement about Trump and the convictions and honoring the process. Chris hammered him. The College Republican, same thing. Like, there is no doubt that Chris understands that there is an element of this could be existential if a bunch of Republicans were to show a spine and there were momentum building behind it. And Chris is out doing everything he can to stop that from happening. And he's very good at it. And quite frankly, you know, the Scott Walkers and all these Republicans across the state, has-beens and currents, have been defending Trump.
Reid Galen, you and Rick Wilson co-founded the Lincoln Project to take on Trump and Trumpism. You know these people better than anybody else. What gives? Are they delusional, as Joe Scarborough said there? Or why would you tell your candidate this is a good thing?
Well, I think that first, if you expect the worst of these people, you'll never be disappointed. You know, I was talking to a reporter earlier in the week who said, having talked to some of the people there, they didn't think that this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Maybe a conviction here, maybe a conviction there. But for Trump, you know, an acquittal on one would have been an acquittal on all.
Right.
And so this came as, you know, just, I think, a real shock to them. And of course, remember that we are dealing with not just a political party, but a movement. And in that movement, you have to tell the dear leader what they want to hear. Right. It's not a normal political operation. And so my guess is even their survey work, even the polling they were doing to see how this would play out, wasn't telling them the whole story because they never believed it could happen in the first place. So now they have to go out. And this is something Trigvi's talked about a lot. They must preserve the invincibility, the inevitability of a guy like Trump, because as soon as that veil gets pierced, you even saw in Trump's press conference the next day, his hair's not really done. Yeah. He didn't even bother to put the makeup on. He clearly didn't get any sleep. Mm-hmm. And so this is now where, as I have said, and I wrote this week, like, now Democrats have to lay it on. They have to pour on the fire and keep these guys on their heels.
To that point, your other co-founder, Rick Wilson, had a great cut. If we edited it for radio, I'm not sure there'd be much left, but he took it to the Democrats last night who are out there going, Joe Biden's a little too old. I'll paraphrase Rick Wilson. Suck it up, liberal Democrats, and stand behind your guy and be a winner.
That's about as much as you could say on the air.
Stay with us. More from this outstanding panel. Your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842. Don't go anywhere. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. By request off of Trigvi's Spotify there. Nicely done, Mr. Zomers. Welcome you back in 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, June 4th. Happy to have you along our outstanding panel here of Reid Galen, the co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Elise Jordan from MSNBC, NBC, a political analyst from the Bush 2 White House, and also from the State Department and NSC. And of course, our very own Trigvi Olson, ongoing contributor, one of the senior advisors at the Lincoln Project, like myself, a native Wisconsinite, like myself, left the Republican Party. What I remind you, coming up in hour two, this is exciting, guys. I know we have whenever Trigvi comes on, and now the two of you as well, lots of people on the stream and on the app who may not be listening. And I want to let you know, stick around for hour two, because yesterday we started our new Civic Media Scani Summer Text to Win contest. Mm. And there's no residency requirement, you understand?
Right.
So if people, this is a great opportunity. If you want to visit Wisconsin, stay around in hour two. First, download the Civic Media app. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. It takes less than a minute. It's what Gail King calls a deal. Well, she says it about the CBS app, but we think she'd probably say it about ours. So you go to the Civic Media app and then open it up, choose your favorite station, and on the text icon, you hit that, and we'll give you a word in hour two. And get this, every winner, one person's going to win a Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack. You can visit the Dells this summer.
Where do you go at the Dells?
There's all kinds of great water parks. It's
not that. What hotel would you?
Well, there's a list.
We have to trick these standards. We went going to go.
In true Trigvi fashion, yes. Reckon Todd's live read.
Okay, keep going.
High maintenance. High maintenance. Oh, that's Chula Vista. It's one of the places.
Course.
Chula Vista
Chula
Resort
Vista.
In the Dells. Yeah. Also,
better than the original Chula Vista.
Yes.
A sponsor of the show, and right. I made the mistake one time, Todd's like, and when you go to Wisconsin Dells, where would you want to stay? And I named another hotel. No one included me in the Chula Vista. You would definitely stay at the Chula Vista.
What a wingman man, Trigby. Of course, Trigby's a Twins fan, and we're still trying to get him therapy. But one of the other prizes, once per day, a pair of Milwaukee Brewer club level seats right there to enjoy the Milwaukee Brewers. And the grand prize, two people are going to get their choice of a summer staycation in either at Fort Atkinson Cottage on the lake, including a pontoon boat, Lake Geneva's stay at the Harbor Shores, or Door County at the Ridges Inn and Suites, and a gift card to go along with it for gas. So if you're out of state, play along in hour two. Now, look, it was supposed to be a friendly contest, and my colleague Jane McNair, she is throwing down the gauntlet on who gets more texters. And so we need all the help we can get. And I thought it was going to be civil, and it's turned into a thing, and it's gotten bitter. And yesterday, I've already gotten swatted and doxed. And that was just at Lindsey Graham's reception at the RNC pre-party. But anyway, it was quite a lot of fun. Anyway, we've got our panel here. We've got Trigby Olson, Reed Galen, and Elise Jordan talking about politics here, taking your phone calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go all the way out to San Francisco on the West Coast. David listening on the app. We appreciate it, David. Thanks for holding on. What say you?
Oh, thanks, Todd, and your guests. Out here in San Francisco, we've known for decades that there was something fishy about the GOP. When J. Edgar Hoover was smuggling heroin in to crush the Black Panthers, when they were bringing heroin into the Haight-Ashbury to kill the hippie movement, when Oliver North was smuggling cocaine.
So what's the question, David?
Well, when Donald Trump brings in Paul Manafort and Roger Stone, who were known coup plotters, they had worked on coups for 40 years, and he brings Manafort and Stone in to bring in the 2016 election. It's pretty clear that it was like an organized crime attempt to take over America as opposed to a third world country. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, since your panel is pretty familiar with Republicans, would declaring the GOP a criminal operation, would declaring the GOP a criminal operation be an advantage or a disadvantage this close to election day?
Reed?
I think they do it for themselves, so I don't think anybody else needs to call them that.
Yeah, I don't think they need to be branded that necessarily.
Right. They do plenty of their own.
Certainly Donald Trump has been demonstrating some.
Yeah, I mean, they're all three of them are convicted felons.
But I would focus on that going the process.
Pardon?
I would focus on the process. Like, at least
defending
the process.
Focus on talking to your relatives about who they're voting for and why, and turning out votes in November. I think that's the most productive way, really, any of us can be politically involved these days.
855-752-4842, closer to home. Dick, listening on WMDX in Madison. Dick, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, to Morning Joe yesterday, they opened with a slam dunk, and I think I talked to you about it yesterday. It was tremendous. And I would deem this year, like when Carbo said it's the economy, stupid, back in the 90s, this would be, in Trump's own words, just feed them back to him. They opened with 3 days before the 16 election, him saying that somebody indicted for a felony shouldn't even be able to run. He said indicted, not convicted. And then how many times has he said, if you plead the fifth, you're guilty. Then he pleads the fifth some 200 times. I mean, you go down a litany of things on the economy, things he said, on the border, and write down, and then play what he said. And just ram it down his throat.
Dick's right. Repetition. Use his own words over and over and over. And that's really why a lot of the Lincoln Project's ads are so effective, because they take Donald Trump in his own words.
Yeah, you never have to make it up.
Yeah.
I mean, they say this stuff out loud. The stuff that we used to say, there's no way anyone would say that out loud. Or if you put it in an ad, Todd, it would be, you'd just be making it up. It'd be fiction. Now this stuff is all true. You literally don't, this stuff just writes themselves.
Yeah. And you need to take these people at their word.
You know, like autocratic actors signal before they take power. And, you know, it wasn't like, for example, with Ukraine, that Putin wasn't making it abundantly clear where he was going. And sometimes you ignore those, you ignore that signaling at your peril.
I want to go to kind of a speed round here. I know your time is tight. We appreciate the time. I want to get a take from all three of you on a couple of things. First of all, Mr. Zomers, let's take the cut of Nikki Haley. And a lot of people are baffled on, I mean, there's some more elections to come here in the Republican primaries. Are people going to continue to vote against Trump? But Nikki Haley kind of represented for a while, you know, some sanity to some people. Let's hear what she said, Mr. Zomers, a while back here in terms of what people would vote for come November.
I will also tell you, there is no way that the American people are going to vote for a convicted criminal. They're not.
That was Nikki Haley in her own words. Reed Galen?
Yeah, I mean, she said she's going to vote for him, but she didn't. It wasn't a ringing endorsement. So I think she's still trying to figure out how to stay in the good graces of Republicans and be a Republican without being anywhere near Donald Trump. And so I think she's right. Ultimately, and I think that that clip is going to be seen by a lot of Republicans between now and November.
Elise, as people look across the country at the lay of the landscape, maybe they're not Trumpers, but they're not necessarily progressives or people, Democrats. Do you think they're going to look at Nikki Haley and go, she was just like everybody else on the Republican side? She ultimately genuflected politically to the great orange one.
The American public can be very forgiving. We'll see by the time, 2028 rolls around if people are really holding it against her, considering that she really was the top talent, political talent in the Republican field this go-round. So much can certainly change, but given that it's not that appealing of appeal because Trump is crushed anyone who had a pulse who could have potentially risen to new heights. Yeah, so I mean, but I think Nikki Haley showed the public kind of her, how strong of a spine she has, frankly. She did the most courageous thing, taking down the Confederate flag. I mean, it wasn't that courageous considering it was the Confederate flag, but right. She took it down. And then, she just deflected and hedged on whether the Civil War is about slavery. So she's trying to find the right political angle, and it just, she hasn't found it yet with Trump.
I want to go quickly and bring it back to Wisconsin. Tammy Baldwin, junior senator, Democrat, running for re-election against OC, we call him, Orange County Eric Hovde from California. He's getting confused, Trick V, on exactly where he is from. This is a couple of nights ago at a fundraiser talking about where Eric Hovde was from in his own words.
I've never been a resident of the state of Wisconsin or of the state of California 1 year in my life.
He kind of forgot where he was from there, Trigby.
Well, he can go jump in the lake.
Again.
I mean, does the guy have any, I mean, he just seems to be tripping over himself. And Tammy's campaign is focusing on what she has done and her staff have done to actually get things done for the people of Wisconsin. That seems to me as a pretty good political strategy.
I mean, so we were in Eau Claire last night and we got back to the hotel. It was late and I turned on the WEAU and was watching and there was a Tammy Baldwin ad on drug addiction. And I just thought, man, she's just knocking it out of the park. And you know, I really wonder, the Biden campaign in the state and Democrats more broadly are lucky to have Tammy Baldwin on the ticket because she's going to pull a lot of these sort of Republican, uncomfortable Republican wives and fathers, particularly of daughters, because there's an empathy there. And the interesting thing is, Todd, you know, that when we asked people, what's the two most important values for you to teach your kids and that you try and live by? It's integrity and honesty. And then when you ask them, well, does Donald Trump stand for either of those? It's overwhelmingly he doesn't. You know, Tammy Baldwin's success in part is because she stands for integrity and she is who she is. She doesn't, try and be something else. And that's a key. And Biden's lucky because, there's going to be, I don't know if there'll be Trump Baldwin voters, but there probably will be some.
Elise and Reed, we've spent so much time talking about Trump in the presidential election. Let's talk for a second about the U.S. Senate election. Going into this, a lot of people thought that it was pretty much a foregone conclusion. Republicans are going to take back the Senate. But you look at what's happening in Wisconsin. You look at Republicans attacking their own Larry Hogan out in Maryland. Do Democrats have a shot at regaining or keeping control?
I think they do. I think it'll be tough. But I think you need to remember, as I said a minute ago, we're dealing with a movement here that's more worried about purity than it is about governing, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a normal political operation. And so, yeah, like you would have left Hogan alone, except you can't because, as Trigvi noted, he's now put a dent in the armor. Mm-hmm. Carrie Lake is a disaster, right? She's already down 13, right, to Gallegos. And so I think you're seeing a lot of these things where these candidates are good. And I think one thing we saw, Todd, in 22, and I'll turn it over to Elise, is a normal, confident Democrat will beat a MAGA Republican.
Elise?
I think it's going to be really hard for Dems to take back the Senate, but I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility, especially when we have so many months still to go. The House, I think, is also really interesting because I think that there are a lot of pickup seats that Democrats could potentially get.
Quick speed round. I've predicted this. Am I crazy or not? I say that if things are looking bleak, that a couple more Republicans are going to resign and basically give Hakeem Jeffries the speaker's chair as we go into, you know, January. Is that crazy talk, or do you think that happens?
I don't think there's any such thing as crazy talk anymore.
Well said. Elise, I want to give you about a minute and a half here left. You're writing a book on one of the people that one of the reasons I became a Republican was for guys like Dwight D. Eisenhower. Tell us about this project.
I have loved it. I'm turning to my draft tomorrow or Thursday.
Wow.
It is the story of General Eisenhower and the women who worked for him during World War II, the first WACs who went overseas into a combat zone. And so telling the story of World War II and Eisenhower, but through a women's perspective. So less a battlefield history than more the social, political, and cultural work that went on during that period. And it is, and Ike is just such an example. I read once that Stalin's biographers inevitably just start fantasizing about how they can kill him while they're writing about him, or the opportunities missed in history where Stalin could have been assassinated. And I'm lucky that I really do grow to love Ike and respect Ike more and more, even seeing that he was human too.
And the irony that, he's one of the people that wanted more people to vote. Make it easier for people, 18-year-olds to vote. And now we have a mega party who's trying to disenfranchise people.
Well, exactly. I really became interested in him because the bombastic talk within the GOP about foreign policy. And I thought, who is someone who had a strong foreign policy yet was never accused of being a wimp and managed to, actually get things done?
And use the 101st Airborne to desegregate the schools in Little Rock, Arizona.
Nicely done. Reed Galen from Lincoln Project, Elise Jordan from MSNBC, and Trigvi Olson, Lincoln Project. Thank you all. Safe travels in your time around Wisconsin. Come back soon. You come back on the other side. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, there you go. There you go, Mr. Zomers. I mean, that's what you're looking for right there when you set up. And thanks to you, and also thanks to Chris Gizzi, our filmographer here, and Lighter. I mean, it looked great. It sounded great. You get great guests, and all of a sudden, you got yourself a show.
Absolutely. I am very thankful that Trigvi, on his travels through the state, took the time and cleared it with his friends and guests, coworkers, whatever you want to call them, to come here and be on the show.
It's really great, and appreciate them again. Trigvi Olson and Reed Galen from the Lincoln Project, and Elise Jordan from MSNBC's Morning Joe, and also just fantastically nice, chill people as well. And that's what we're and brilliant. So we appreciate having them on. Thanks all for texting in and tuning in as well. We'll have them all back soon. Of course, Trigvi makes his regular appearance on most Wednesdays across the Civic Media Ready Network. And also, before we forget now, because there may be penalties in the contract, apologies to Luke Mathers, because we had to unfortunately bump Luke today for Tuesday Tangents to get these special guests in. So we apologize. It was only personal, you understand. It could be that he was helping out Jane today to pump up their text ratings. No, it's not
a conspiracy.
We'll have Luke. We'll beg Luke. We'll buy him a beer, and we'll ask him to come back on later this week.
And so, he will. Yeah, he told us which days he's available. We're all
good. All right. Very good. It's not like a Matt Damon, Jimmy Kimmel thing. We're not going to keep bumping him. You understand?
That would be funny, but. No, we value
no,
Luke too much for
we
that.
No, we won't. We can't wait to have Luke back on the show. So, speaking of J. Matt Nair, again, we have a dastardly rivalry now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Because she wants to see if she can get more texters on her show than we have on ours. And so we need your help. In hour number two, we're going to give you the secret word for the Civic Media Scani Summer Text to Win Contest. So if you don't... Sex in the summer. It would sell better if that were one of the prizes, but no. It's a lovely one winner per day for Milwaukee Brewer tickets, once an hour for a Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack, and the grand prize Summer Staycations, either in Fort Atkinson on a lake with a pontoon boat, Lake Geneva at Harbor Shores, or Door County at the Ridges Inn and Suites. And there's a gas card as well. So we're going to give that away next hour, so stick around. And we will give you the secret word coming up next, and you too could be a lovely winner. I want to continue on with this Lincoln Project theme here, because one of the clips we didn't get to, and that's fine, but more important to have our guest talk, but Stuart Stevens, one of the other senior advisors to the Lincoln Project, he has been a guest on this show, and to our caller from San Francisco, to his point, Stuart wrote a book, one of the best books I've ever written, called It Was All a Lie, How the Republican Party Became Donald Trump. And he goes in there, to the caller's point, and points out that some of the things that we see today, many of the things in the current iteration of the MAGA party, started in the late 60s, when the Republican Party went from being a party of opportunity to a party of exclusion little by little. And so Stuart was on MSNBC himself last night on one of the shows there, and talking about, is there any, because a lot of people think, well, we'll just, you know, if we work hard enough, if we get rid of Trump, then we can kind of have the old Republican Party back. Here's what Stuart Stevens of the Lincoln Project had to say to that.
Yeah, you made a point yesterday in your show, for Phoenix to rise out of the ashes, you have to have ashes. And you're absolutely right. This is why we have to burn the current Republican Party to the ground. The answer to the Republican Party is to vote for Democrats. It is to vote for President Biden, to help him get reelected with a large and crushing margin. Pain is the only teacher in politics. And when Republicans realize that they can't win national elections, even with the Electoral College, that they are alienating this new generation of voters, they're alienating your average suburban voters, at some point, survival will kick in and they will change. But as far as optimism, this is going to take a long time. You're going to have to beat the Republican Party again and again and again.
Stuart Stevens from the Lincoln Project, former Republican presidential strategist and operative. And this is something, I agree with Stuart, by the way. And I take no joy in saying that. As someone who spent 30 years of my life knocking on doors and putting up yard signs and getting signatures for Republican candidates, I was fortunate that the two people that I worked for in terms of elected officials in the Republican Party, Dale Schultz, a state senator, and Scott Klug, a congressman, were both good people and both reasonable people and both thoughtful people. Scott Klug was a pro-choice Republican, supported women's right to choose. Scott Klug was one of the few Republicans who voted in favor of former President Bill Clinton's 1994 assault weapon ban. Dale Schultz was the only Republican in the state Senate to vote against Act 10 and Scott Walker. He voted against the mining changes up north. He voted against some of the voter suppression bills that came to the state Senate. He was a thoughtful conservative who cared about conservation. But Stuart Stevens is right. Those kind of Republicans simply are non-existent or are unwilling to speak up. And we see time and again, at both the national and the state level, people who at one time might have been seen as thoughtful, who are still in power and still in office, genuflecting to Donald Trump, who are blessing authoritarianism. And I ask the question, I'm going to keep asking it until November. If you had someone knock on your door to run for village council, mayor, town board, County Board. And you looked at your local newspaper, on your local radio, you heard that that individual had 34 felony convictions. Would you vote for that person for your local city council or your village board? I bet the answer is no. And so I keep asking the question, why on earth would you consider voting for someone with the nuclear codes that has 34 felony convictions? More perhaps on the way, certainly indictments, and surrounds himself with other felons. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Going to come back in hour two. We didn't get to the cut yesterday. We will today. Former Governor Scott Walker. Yes, he's weighing in on his thoughts about being... I can't say it with a straight face. Vice President, come on back. It's hour two straight ahead on the Civic Media Radio Network.